from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
This is Roz and Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, Mocha.
Yeah.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Let's do the news!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
News break.
Let's go through some of the new Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes.
Brand new album called The Loveliest Time. She said that this whole thing came out as a result of experiencing a period of positivity following isolation. I'm guessing she means COVID. She says, I got to know the loveliness and discover the beauty in it. The loneliest time taught me that growth comes from being planted in darkness. But now that the world has opened itself back up again, and in turn, so have we, it's time for celebration and for all the lessons we have learned to burst into joyful action. What do you want to go through
Let's
here?
Go, we'll start off with a song called Come Over.
Okay.
Close my eyes, I see you, you got it, I feel butterflies, trying hard to escape. Can't deny this feeling here, you got it, makes me want to try, couple nights, couple days.
So far, so good.
Fans are very happy because all of the new tracks are on her YouTube page with lyric videos. Because
oh, really?
Smart. They're all saying that at some point, Carly Rae attended the Ariana Grande School of Pronunciation, and you can no longer understand what she's saying.
Oh, no.
So the lyric videos are very much appreciated by fans.
Okay, let's see if this next one, if we can understand. This one's called Stadium Love.
Got you on my mind for the second time. Got you on my mind.
Oh, Carly, you're two for two so
yeah,
far.
I like it. I like it.
We'll play one more here. Next? This one's called Anything to Be With You. Ooh, I like the vibe already.
Shem?
Yeah, I noticed that her production value has definitely gone up. It reminds me of the album that had Call Me Maybe on it, in terms of production value.
Yeah. I don't mind it, though. And it's all sort of... And apparently she says the F word, like for the first time.
No, she does. Carly Rae says
yes,
the F word.
Yes.
Carly Rae does not swear in my world.
Hand on heart, thumb on pearls.
Carly Rae
says the F word. I'm not even...
What happened to you, Carly Rae?
I'm not even joking.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I like it, though. It's good.
Yeah, it's great.
It's good, man.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Megan Fox is lashing back at fans who lashed out at her for her lack of generosity. So... Megan went on social media the other day to promote a friend's GoFundMe. So it was a $30,000 fundraiser, which is now up to $60,000 as far as their goal goes, which was set up by Megan's nail tech, Brittany. It was her father who set it up because her father's been diagnosed with cancer. And Megan wrote, "My friend's dad was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. If you guys are able to help, please do so." And at that point, the highest donation, which was not anonymous on the page, was $300. So fans started going in, being like, she better contribute herself and lead the way. Somebody else wrote, if I had such money as you, I'd cover 100% of my friend's parents' medical expenses before I asked strangers to do it. And then other people were pointing out that the original goal of $30,000 was exactly what Machine Gun Kelly paid for her engagement ring, right?
Wow.
She wrote...
the receipt.
So... So she That's wrote, so hey, weirdos, do any of you have the emotional intelligence consider that maybe Britt doesn't want her celebrity clients donating large sums of money to her because it creates a dynamic in her working relationships that make her uncomfortable? I just obliged to request anything she needs from me personally. She will ask and I will do privately. One thing you're not going to accuse me of being is miserly or lacking generosity. So try again another day, probably tomorrow, with some different BS, you bunch of psychos. So that was the response from Megan Fox. I mean, she should have thrown something up there.
Like half at least.
Right? Like if you're going to post it. Also, maybe her friend doesn't want to ask. Right?
Maybe her for it?
Maybe her friend saying, hey, would you mind posting my dad's GoFundMe? Maybe that was the ask. Then the friend just didn't want to say the words. Maybe. I don't know.
Sure. Or, hey, can you post this? Thinking Megan would be like, you're my girl. I'm not going to post this. I'm just going to give you the cash.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. But this is just the kind of thing. You also have to post it because these are the kinds of things that if one celebrity posts it, like your original 30,000 goal, that can get to $500,000 in an afternoon if the right celebrity posts it, right? So like you still have to post. Mm-hmm. Like, so maybe that's what she was hoping for. And that's why they bumped the goal up to 60 grand just to sort of keep it going a little bit. But yeah, people not happy at Megan Fox. Do you have a dollar figure? Like what's the most that you would give to, not a family member, but like a friend in need? Maury, turn your headphones down because you're suddenly going to have a problem that is going to cost exactly what Mocha's about to say.
I am the friend in need.
It depends on what they're going through.
Gotcha.
If I could afford it, then I'd help.
Well, you don't have the issue of medical bills here, right? Like, that's the thing. So, like,
oh, yeah.
You
not
know,
like
we don't have that problem. Like, we
I've
don't
been
have
in
a lot
hospital
of,
and I need like 25 grand.
Yeah, or more
to
than
pay
that,
the bills,
right? Or more than that. Yeah. Do you have a number? Like, do you like in your head have a number of how far you're willing to go to help somebody?
Depends on, again, No,
you don't have a number, right?
No.
Yeah, sky's the limit for you. That's why you're such a nice guy.
It depends on what it's for.
Yeah. Maury, what's your number?
$40.
$40.
$40.
Was it too high?
$40.
Damn.
$40. Shem, you go to church. Whatever the Lord
says.
That's
it, man.
Yeah.
Although, my sky has a little bit of a limit. Like, maybe like 1,000.
Right.
Moses told me $40.
Yeah.
What about you, Roz? What's your limit?
I don't have a limit, but I've
What? Say it.
Nothing.
Say it.
Nothing.
You've donated too much and asked for it back?
No. I was in a sort of like ethical kind of dilemma because I had donated to something, mm-hmm. right? Somebody was going through something. Mm-hmm. And they asked for, you know, money to help this person achieve this thing.
Okay.
And then I donated, like, I saw what the goal was, and they weren't going to reach it, so I topped it up.
Perfect.
Okay.
Beautiful. Right? I love it when people do that.
I topped it up. They reached their goal, right? Yeah. It was great. I felt great about it. But then...
Oh, no.
Something happened where...
New goal alert.
Okay. Something happened where they didn't do the thing they were asking money to do.
Oh, give me it back, bruh.
Thank you.
Give me it back.
Right?
You didn't do the thing.
No. Like, it went to something... Like, circumstances changed.
Oh,
and it went towards something else. And I was like, well, I didn't contribute to the something else.
Was the something else something that you would, like... You were in line, like you, like they, that other something else needed the money and you're like, yeah, that's fine. Like at least somebody else benefits.
Yeah, but
from
I wouldn't
it.
Have topped it up.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't have topped it up.
You can't ask for it back.
I wouldn't have topped it up.
I would ask for it back if they didn't do the thing they said that they were going to do.
Right.
And then the money just sat there.
Right. Oh, no.
At that point.
Yeah, the money didn't just sit there.
Right.
Yeah. And then I was kind of like, meh, you know, as a little disappointed.
Was the play the other thing that it went to not as like special as the thing that this person said that they were going to donate to?
No, but the thing that I donated to was like a lifelong dream. Right.
Oh. So not comparable.
Not comparable. Yeah. Not comparable. And then every now and then for a real long time, I would check their Facebook to see if they did the lifelong dream.
Uh-huh.
And they never did.
Never did still.
No, it wasn't good.
Yeah, no, you can't ask that.
Nah, you
back.
Can't. No, I know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
We talked about this a while ago when it was announced that Lorne Michaels on Saturday Night Live was potentially going to be leaving the show, and that is who can replace Lorne Michaels. And according to reports, sources say that they've been talking to Tina Fey, which is what we'd said, and that she's a leading contender and possibly the only contender being seriously considered at the moment. So season 50 of SNL was supposed to start in the fall if the writers and actors strike doesn't wind up. And speaking of which, the Emmy Awards in September are officially off the schedule for September, and they're not even going to attempt to schedule a new date. September 18th is when they were supposed to air. I think that they're actually going to, both the Emmys and Fox, the broadcaster, are going to wait until the strike is over before they start announcing a new date. Otherwise, you announce a date, then you got to push the date, and you got to push the date, and you got to push the date.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
New trailers have dropped for two huge shows, both the season three of Morning Show. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Morning Show season three is
Only Murders in the Building season three, I believe.
Let's start with Morning Show. This is out on September 13th on Apple.
You know, we were supposed to change things, weren't we? I wanted to make a difference.
I need to have a say in the future of this place.
I want to build something that matters. I want to win.
But it isn't real. It's all smoke and mirrors.
You need a miracle. I am offering you a lifeline.
5, 4, 3.
So that voice, the lifeline voice?
Yeah, who is that?
John Hamm.
That's who it is. Thank
you. John Hamm joins the cast of The Morning Show season 3.
Yeah.
And then on August 8th is when we get the first, I believe, the first two episodes of Only Murders in the Building on Disney. And returning, of course, Selena Gomez, Martin Short, Steve Martin, added to the cast, Meryl Streep, Paul Rudd, and Jesse Williams as well, who plays a romantic interest for Selena Gomez's Mabel character.
And we saw Paul Rudd in the final episode of the second season,
right? That's right. Yes, God, I got to rewatch second season.
Yes. It's opening night, and a big star drops dead on stage.
Oh, my God. My leading man is dead.
Is this really happening?
Well, you know, who are we without a homicide?
NYPD, the killer is someone in this room.
My show is hanging on by a thread here.
Finding this killer is the only way you'll have a show.
Want to make a podcast with me?
Oh my God, this is corny.
So corny.
I know it is. Yeah. Murder?
Yeah, murder. Yeah.
Look at this.
It's so good.
Yeah. Looking forward to both of those.
So there you go. Only Murders season 3, August 8th. Morning Show season 3, September 13th.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Talk me through this Post Malone album. Is it like a full brand new album? Is that the deal?
Yeah, it's like almost an hour long. There's like 15 songs on there.
Wow.
Post Malone plays guitar on every single song.
Good.
There's one song he plays guitar, drums. It's listed there. He plays the tambourine as well.
Yeah, of course. You got to. Right? Yes.
It's a great album, though. It's like a mix of pop, rock, and country.
Okay.
Right? Here's the entire album that I kind of briefly, I guess, abbreviated for you to get a vibe of what it's like.
Don't understand. When Louis V, it's chemical. I just want a free trip to Disneyland. I got the Pilates. I have to say hi. When we went to get naughty, I'm Bobby Boucher. Cool to you.
If I got a handle on anything.
That was chaos. Here. I'll play a little longer of a song called Speedometer, which is one of my favorites on the album.
I just bought a new Lamborghini. Let SOP goes to 25. You called my phone, said you wanted to see me. I couldn't think of a better reason to try.
Such a big Post Malone fan. The album is called Austin, which is Post Malone's real first name, by the way, Roz.
Which is what?
Austin.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Austin Malone? Or is that not even his real last name?
No, his real last name, I think, is Post.
Oh, Austin Post. Oh, I gotcha. All right.
Somebody sent a text. I'm going to read this, okay? This is directed at me, by the way. And it said, Mocha, I know you're worried about your wife listening to the Harry Styles sleep story on Calm, because I've always said
yes,
some of these sleep stories by these celebs on the Calm app, like, pretty sexy.
Oh, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
So this person goes on to say, well, do not let her listen to the new Post Malone album. The things he says and how he says in some of them songs, lady boner alert.
Oh.
I'm not even a huge fan, but like, there's something about this album. How he sings, what he's saying, just don't let her hear it.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure all the women that have heard it would agree. It is too sexy.
Is she physically attracted to Post Malone?
I've never asked her that question, but I do know she loves...
Let's call her now. We have time.
Post Malone.
But is that kind of like, yeah, yeah.
Can we call her?
No.
Why not?
It's rude. Wake somebody up in the middle of their morning and they're doing stuff.
You do that to Matthew. Mocha, call her. Shem, call her.
No,
call
it's not going to happen.
Call, come on.
I would, bro.
Are you kidding? Yeah. If she gets turned on by listening to the Post Malone album, that's only beneficial for me when I get home.
My man.
Hey. You know what I'm saying? Hey. Like, come on, man.
Bat and clean up is what we call that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Ba-da-da-da-da. Today marks the 20th anniversary of the Great North American Blackout. Remember that? August 14th, 2003.
I thought I caused it.
You know what's interesting is up until this morning more, I actually never knew what caused it.
Wait, is there an answer?
Yes. And there's always been an answer. We all lived through it. And then when the power came back on, we just all went about our lives. Mm-hmm. Because the big thing was, if you remember, was everybody thought it was a terrorist attack because 9/11 was very recent memory at that time.
Sure.
And so when the power went out, once everybody found out that it wasn't a terror attack, it was just something. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody was actually interested in knowing what the something was.
No, we got the power back.
We got the power back.
I could use my microwave again.
And in my head, I thought that the power outage lasted much longer than it actually did.
Wasn't it like 24 hours?
Less than that, even.
For some people, it lasted a couple days. Yeah. For most,
it didn't.
So where it originated, was it like a power plant or
so,
something?
No, so what happened was is that there was all the speculation that it was a terrorist attack. And then according to the report, what actually caused the blackout was an Ohio-based energy corporation.
That's amazing.
So they came in contact with overgrown trees on their power lines from a company called First Energy in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And then they had to, I guess they were working with the trees and then they just were like clipping stuff or whatever, but they shut something down. And then there was a technical glitch when they shut something down and an alarm that was supposed to go off didn't go off in their master control. And then they weren't able to react and warn everybody else. And then it all started cascading. So they shut down their power, which shut down somebody else's power, which shut down somebody else's power. And then there you have it all the way down the Eastern Seaboard and the Midwest in the U.S. and all through Ontario and Ottawa and New York City and everything else. But it was trees on power lines.
It was treason.
Well, no, it wasn't treason.
That was
What do you mean it was treason?
It was just because, like, tree.
Oh, I got Jesus, man. No, it was trees, Maury. There's enough ridiculous in this, Maury, already. Like, I don't know what you're doing, man. Anyway, that was a fun time. I don't know what you're doing. I really thought I wanted to come back to work today.
You want to go?
No. We go back on vacation?
No, you can't. I might need another day out of this.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There was a tennis match at the Canadian Open. I don't know if you saw this. During a match between, I think it's Iga Swiatek and Jessica Pegula, they were in the middle of just like a rally playing, and then all of a sudden, Cotton Eye Joe starts blasting through the speakers.
Oh, wow. Cotton Eye Joe just came on mid-rally.
Replay the points.
Oh, no!
Oh, wow. Are we in Texas, Chanda?
What a moment.
I just thought it was funny. I've never had that happen, let alone with Cotton Eye Joe. I was like, is this really happening right now? Of all the songs, it was just like, what is going on?
Yo, that's...
Why was Cotton Eye Joe even loaded up?
I think the DJ was like getting ready.
But at the Canadian Open, like why is that even on your hard drive?
Like there's no relevance.
Like what are you doing playing Cotton Eye Joe? Like listen. At what point are you gonna bust this out?
It's a banger that slaps.
But like
I play tennis to this though.
Like, I understand sometimes that happens, right? Like the DJ's getting ready and all this stuff and you fire something you didn't know. But why is this loaded? Like, why was Cotton Eye Joe on deck?
Or was it like somebody had their phone plugged in and this was just like on their playlist?
And he's just kicking it up in the booth? It's a Cotton Eye Joe?
They hit the wrong button and hit the speakers everywhere.
Right? And how did you not stop it immediately?
Yo, if this song starts playing, you think I'm hitting stop?
It was during the match.
Song slaps. Right?
You know, I don't know if I've ever heard that this whole song.
I was going to say that part.
That's so weird. It's brand new to me. I've never heard that part before.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I'm not stopping this.
That's fine.
Not at all.
Who sings this?
Oh. Like you don't know.
Oh, stop it.
Rednecks.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. R-E-D-N-E-X.
God damn. there's something else I wanted to do.
I swear that song played at Mocha's wedding.
Did you play Cotton Eye Joe at your wedding, Mocha?
I don't know.
I swear Shem and I danced to that song at your wedding.
Did you dance with Maury? It's very easy to find out, Maury. Why don't you just ask Shem?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. Did we?
Yeah, I'm almost positive Shem and I danced to that song at
Maury's wedding.
You know
what? Maury is 100% right.
Yes. Really?
We totally did. I could see myself, you and Matthew doing the little
jig. If you had to take a poll on who works on this show would have Cotton Eye Joe playing at their wedding. Right? Everybody would lose money on this. Everybody would lose money.
Well, we know, though.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Before we go, are you at all interested in hearing an Indian martial artist break the world record by smashing 273 walnuts with only his forehead?
Yes.
Okay. So, by the way, in case you're wondering, I'll play this for you here. In case you're wondering, so I thought maybe he was taking them in his hand and smashing them on his head, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not. So he has a long table set up with all the walnuts on the table.
No.
And his hands are like behind his back. And he's just like, you know, when chickens feed?
Yeah.
They just do this thing, right? Like a pigeon, right? So that's what he's doing. And he's just smashing his head against the table
How
where all the walnuts.
Get a concussion?
I don't know. But here's what it sounds like. Somebody breaking 273 walnuts with only their forehead. You got it or no?
Oh.
Here, hold on here.
Okay.
Does he have like a pad on his forehead?
No, nothing on his forehead. There's zero on his forehead. Turn me back up again.
Was his skull intact?
He starts grunting. Listen to this.
Yeah, this is so stupid.
So we're going to try and break this tomorrow?
Now, because you're watching the video, are the walnuts like they're smashing open?
They
like,
are, yes.
They're actually smashing.
They're all taped to the desk, right? So they don't roll off and everything else and all this other stuff. But he's like, it's not official looking. He's like on a roof somewhere, like somebody's satellite television dish is like right beside him at the end of the table kind of thing, right? It's like the most Indian video I've ever seen.
Yo, this guy should fight Zuckerberg.
Right. Next.
Is there a softer nut he could have done?
And all the, by the way, just because people freak out over stuff like this, remember, he smashed all these walnuts with his head, okay?
Uh-huh.
Every single one of the walnuts was smashed with his head, and they put a disclaimer up that says, all walnuts used were donated for consumption after the record attempt.
Oh.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Barbie scored one of the best fourth weekends of all time domestically with $33.7 million this weekend. That is ahead of Spider-Man No Way Home and just behind the Avengers as far as the best fourth weekend. That's not all. Greta Gerwig is celebrated becoming the highest grossing female director of a live action movie at the worldwide box office as Barbie surpasses what Captain Marvel did, which was a co-director. And then after 17 days into its release, Barbie became the first live action film in history that is directed by a female solo to surpass $1 billion globally. So that is incredible. I cannot believe
Barbie's
still doing crazy numbers, man.
It's amazing.
Crazy
I love numbers. It.
I watched two movies on vacation. Well, I watched more than two, but I watched the Super Mario movie.
Oh, that's great, right?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Amazing.
My son, we bought it.
Yeah.
That's how good it is and how much we love that movie.
And I watched the new Guardians of the Galaxy yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I watched that too.
It's amazing.
Did nobody watch Red, White, and Royal Blue?
What's that?
It just came out. It's on Amazon. It's the gay royals.
Missed it.
A female president has a gay son who falls in love with the royal prince.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. Is it good?
No. Oh. But it's fun.
I know people said Guardians 3 was like sad and everything.
Yeah.
But I was not prepared for the amount of sadness.
No. It was beautiful. It was really, really beautiful. Like the Guardians movies were, it was beautiful.
Pro tip.
Yeah.
Because you know how earlier this year I was drinking and I watched Endgame and I teared up.
Yeah. I'm Iron Man.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm Iron Man.
Yeah.
Don't have a drink and watch Guardians 3.
No,
because there are
no.
many tear up moments.
Same with Red, White, and Royal Blue.
I will take your word for it, Mark.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
In a new survey, 66% of people say that they turn subtitles on their television occasionally, while 13% say they are always on. I'm in that 13%. Subtitles on everything.
Everything
has subtitles. Modern Family reruns has subtitles.
So is it because you're just used to it now?
Yep.
Is that how you watch television?
It's how I watch television. And I got my whole family involved. Mm-hmm. Like Roxy used to hate subtitles and would always turn them off.
But now,
and now if the subtitles are off, she turns them on.
Yeah.
Love my subtitles.
Love my subtitles.
Yeah,
are you the same way?
I've gotten more into subtitles because I eat when I watch TV. So I'm like, I can't hear.
Maria talks about subtitles like they're a K-pop band. I've recently gotten into subtitles. So when you eat because you're chewing is loud, is that the deal?
Or I don't know. Like I feel like I can't hear when I eat. Is no one else like this?
That you can't hear like other things while you eat?
No,
what are you eating though? Like I understand if you're eating like chips, but what are you like? Not if you're eating marshmallows.
I'll be having like a yogurt.
A yogurt? How do you loud eat yogurt?
Like I put granola on my yogurt.
You know what it sounds like when you eat yogurt? It sounds like this.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like eating yogurt.
Yeah. Yogurt is just about the most silent food you could possibly eat.
Yo, come on.
Well, I guess, yeah. Uh-huh. But I put them on now more so than often. But my boyfriend gets really mad when I put the subtitles on because he hates it.
Why is yogurt still silent if it's the fruity bottom?
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay. You guys are... I gotta move on. I have to move on. We're getting into fruity bottom territory. What's that? Isn't that movie you just watched about the gay prince?
That was the alternate title.
What was that called again, though?
Red, White, and Royal
Blue. Oh, Red, White, and Royal Blue. Sorry. I thought we were back on that.
Pretty Bottom is the sequel.
Stop it.
Working title.
I made a mistake. I thought that was the movie he was talking about. I made a mistake. It was an error. Okay?
Shim's joking.
Okay, I made a mistake.
Okay.
All right. There's a lot going on over here, guys. Okay.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Apparently, the Emmys have an air date, even though there is no end in sight for the actors' strike. They're going to do it on January 15th on Fox, which is a Monday. So look out for that, I guess. Britney Spears bought a stripper pole. I don't know if you saw that video.
What?
She has that in her house. She's had it for one day. She's pretty good at it. She says, I got this pole 2 days ago, and last night was my first time on it. She's doing a video dancing to Nine Inch Nails, one of their songs. And then there's also rumors that she may be sitting down with Oprah to do one of those big giant Oprah interviews.
When the book
comes out on October 24th. I think that's the same day the paperback version of my book comes out.
Oh, no, you're competing with Britney? Yeah. You got to change that day, bro.
I know. Hold on here. I'll figure it out later. It was time for that.
You don't have your glasses, do you?
I don't. I don't.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
What was Drake doing? Is Drake not allowing women to throw bras at him anymore? Is that the deal?
No. Oh. It still happens, right?
That woman went, like, she got famous. There was that woman who threw a bra at Drake, and it was, like, I don't know, like, 36G or something like that, right?
Something like that.
And then he found it and was like, yo, he read the tag and was like, 36G, find this woman. And then, like, Playboy
hired her. Yes.
That's crazy
to
me.
So now that's the thing. At every Drake concert is that women are just throwing up their bras.
Right.
And the other night in California, he was doing a show, and it was the first time ever that his son Adonis, who I believe is 5 now, was at the show.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So Drake gets on stage because some people, like some ladies, were already starting to throw.
Yeah.
And then Drake gets on the mic and says this.
I can't talk about tonight in LA.
I can't talk about tonight.
Okay. My son is at the show for the first time ever.
My son is at the show for the very first time.
So we're going to keep this real PG tonight, y'all. Keep your bras on. Throw him up here another night.
Keep your bras on.
I don't want him thinking that his dad is up to no good. I'll tell him about that later in life. Put the earmuffs on. This I'll keep for later, though. This is nice. Hold that for me.
So he picked up one of the bras and was like, I'll keep this one for later.
Oh, my God. I'd want to get... I'd bring a bra to a Drake show.
Has no one ever thrown a bra at you, Ross?
What's that?
Has no one ever thrown a bra at you?
Has anyone ever thrown a bra at me? Like, I've never really been in a position where somebody would throw a bra at me. Like, I've never, you know, done a rock show or anything like that. No.
Why, more? You want to throw your bra?
Nobody's ever thrown a bra at me. I mean, I've had somebody throw a bra just, like, at me.
Uh-huh.
But that's like, what I'm asking.
Oh, have I ever, like, yes, I've had a bra thrown at me, but not on stage or anything like that. But, yeah, I've had a bra thrown at me. Sure. Who hasn't?
Me.
Me.
Oh.
Me.
Oh. Shem, help me out here.
I'm with you, homie.
Okay. What you mean?
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are y'all shocked?
Yeah. Thank you.
Jeez.
My heart. I thought I was the only one.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Taryn Manning from Orange is the New Black. I don't know if you saw this video, but yo. So
what? No,
she
didn't.
Shot it. She posted and deleted and then issued an apology. We will go through them individually. So she's at a gas station, I guess. She was driving. She's sitting in the driver's seat. She has a seatbelt on. So I guess she had just pulled over to shoot this video. And she looks like she always looks a little out of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. even on Orange is the New Black, like, I think just, like, her general demeanor is she's always just sounds like she's a little out of it. But she really looks out of it. And fans are, like, wildly concerned. So I guess she'd been having an affair with a married man.
Okay.
And the wife of the married man got mad at her and then threatened a restraining order against her, or who the hell knows what was going on. But this was her video directed to the married man's wife. So here is Taryn Manning sort of flexing on the I got your man.
So the man that I've been messing with is a married man, and every night I was his because he liked it and I didn't mind doing it. Is that weird? Yeah. And that is what demons do. We drove all the way down to Newport Beach today so I could buy him a boat. And I brought cash to put a down payment down. Like, I really loved him. And his wife, because he's married, and I feel so bad because I can't stand her. Because she wasn't even like, wait, what? You've been messing with my man? She said, you lunatic, you get out of my life or I'll get an RO on you. I've been your man's for weeks on end because he likes it a lot and I do it to him. And he comes to me and it happens.
God.
I know that's a lot of information, but I'm the lunatic, right? No, I'm just single. Very single, and he came to me. So you don't accuse me of being a lunatic, but I'll tell you one thing, lady. You want to put me in jail? I'll put you in jail so fast, your head will be spinning. Don't you ever threaten me. When your husband came to me to get his...
Okay.
Wow.
First of all, you got to be, you're living a different life when you call a restraining order an RO.
Yeah,
right? You know what I mean? Like,
had a few.
It means you've got to step up.
Okay.
It's not your first one.
So she posted that and then deleted it and then said, over the past few days, I've had some time to reflect on the situation I've been dealing with. Uh-huh. I was deeply hurt and handled things on a public platform when I should have just dealt with them quietly and with the support of my close friends and family. I feel a lot of guilt after exposing everything and thought maybe the best resolution to the situation would be to just lie about it all, but that's not the truth. She went on to say, he's married and he told me that he would leave his wife, but in the end, I found out that wasn't possible. She said that what she did was wrong. However, she said, the heart makes you do crazy things sometimes. And then she ended with, I'm sorry for exposing my situation, but I'm not sorry for how I love, noting that she hoped to one day find someone who cherished me the way I adore them. And with all that said, I'm now asking everyone to please give me my privacy so I can heal and mend my heart. Thank you.
Damn.
Oh. Do you know what we bleeped out, by the way?
I could guess.
Yeah. I'm not going to, I won't say it, but what do you do? You show me with your hands. Show me with your hands.
No, because
show
me on, with your hands. This is going to be on video. Stop the video.
No. Just show me with your hands.
No, stop the
show
video.
Step away from the camera for a second.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Can he show me, by himself?
Show me with your hands.
Was it...
Show me with your hands. Show me with your hands. Just like...
Why are you not showing him with your hands?
Just show me with your hands. Okay.
Was it over here?
No, wasn't Maury. No, that's not what she said. Oh. That's not what she said. Oh. She said this. I'm gonna move away from my camera now.
Wait, come on, man.
Okay. She said this. She said this.
Yo. Oh.
Hey. Okay.
Yo, camera caught that.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
You do that very well, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you. Poor Maria.
Maria, you know,
when I clap, you clap.
I know.
We all clap now.
I know it's your second day on the show, Maria. Welcome, by the way. But you don't. You don't always have a clap when everybody, if you don't feel like clapping, okay?
No.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jonathan Scott from the Property Brothers and Zoe Deschanel got engaged.
Hey, we will clap for that. Love them. That's amazing.
After celebrating their 4 years together, I guess they did it on a trip to Scotland recently with Zoe's kids. That's real great. Margot Robbie is set to make around 50 mil off the Barbie movie because she was one of the producers. So her points come like before everybody else kind of thing. So when you get points off the back end of a movie, so that's real great. 50 mil plus like... whatever she made for the movie, like as
an actor. Will she make even more once the movie is available digitally?
Yep.
Not much though, because those deals are all hammered out. That's why everybody's on strike right now is because digital just like there's no more residuals for people, right?
Right.
Like, it just doesn't work that way.
With 50 mil, not bad though.
With digital streamers, that's great money. Anyway, so that's that.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Celebrate mornings with the Roz and Mocha Show.
Roz and Mocha celebrate mornings. On KISS.
Cut me out of that. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Get that fixed, champ. Full version. I'm going to do it. We got to do it right.
Yeah. You don't put, it's the coolest part of the track.
On it.
Like, what the hell?
Who made that decision?
Wasn't me, man.
All right. Well, they got to fix that.
Okay, hold on. If we're going to do this right, we're going to do this right.
Best friends are frenemies. Two BFs will never see anything eye to eye. Your brother's from another mother. Two hella sweller fellas. Laughing until you cry. Like a joke without an ending. Roz and Mocha got you hanging. Because there just ain't a better time. Celebrate mornings with the Roz and Mocha Show.
If you know, you know. Yeah.
Fire.
OG. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how it goes. OG. Beatles. That song's 3 days old. At least to the public it is.
I've been singing that damn thing for months now.
I know.
It came up because when I was messing around with the song, and then when you save stuff, it just goes to your iTunes. You know, did you know that on your computer?
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody does.
I turned that off. I turned that feature off.
Okay.
I don't want that.
Did you have to Google how to turn that feature
on?
Of
course I did. and I was playing something, I don't know, like last week or something like that, and it came up in a playlist, like in a random thing. Yes.
Wow, you're like the biggest douche. Right?
No, I was alone.
Oh, but
I've done way douchier things. Like way douchier things.
Okay, name five.
Name five douchier things than I've done than that. Yeah. I wrote an entire book about just me.
Oh, facts. No need to continue, sir.
Spent 2 years doing it. I don't know. That's pretty self-centered.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I wrote a memoir before I was 50.
Yeah.
Right? No, the song's catchy though. I love it a lot. Yeah,
you'll be seeing the commercial, the new Roz and Mocha TV commercial.
Yeah.
On TV over the next little while, and keep an eye out. The bus ads are going to be starting. Actually, they started this week.
Did they?
Yeah, they're rolling them out. And don't steal them.
No.
All right? Because it costs us money.
We're the ones that pay for that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, Maria. Maria, new to the show, by the way.
Yeah.
But previous campaigns, people have been stealing our bus ads. And then we have to go and pay. And like the big ones.
Yeah.
Why?
We did a campaign years ago, one of our first. And it was, at the time, the most stolen campaign in the transit system's history. And whenever you advertise on the subways and the buses, you have to do what they call like an overage in case something gets damaged, in case it gets torn, whatever. You have to buy more than what you would need. And the overages that we had to buy were like unprecedented. We had to buy like a 40% overage because fans kept stealing them. So you would go onto these subways and they would be empty. There would be no posters.
Have you guys ever found out what anyone has done with them?
Yeah, people would take pictures of them in their rooms.
Shout out to the scammers, man.
I think they got a free poster. Yes. And then I went on one time, because the last time I was on a subway, you want to know the last time I was on a subway?
Tell me.
Which was when that happened, which was like, I don't know, like 11 years ago or something like that.
Wow.
And
yes,
and Catherine was like, listen, if everybody's stealing them, I think it would be a great idea if why don't you go on the subway and with a Sharpie and just start autographing them.
Oh.
And then that way,
oh, no.
If somebody wants to steal one,
vandal.
It's autographed.
Yeah.
Right? And then so I'm like, that's a fantastic idea.
No, it's not.
So I go down to the subway, right? Pay my fare, everything else. I was shocked that it went up as much as it had.
Every year.
And I went down, and then she had her camera with me, and I just started signing, right, all the posters. And she's taking my picture. However, nobody on that subway like recognized me or the fact that I was me and also the guy in the poster. And yeah, I just looked like a vandal.
Yeah.
Right? Like I looked like I was just defacing things.
Yeah.
So that was the last time I was on the subway. Good reason though, right?
Subways. How much was the fare back then? 90 cents?
He doesn't remember.
Subways are different now. Did you know the subways are all one thing?
Yes.
Been like that for a long time.
For how long?
Decades?
Really? Shut up.
Bruh.
Decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
Yeah.
They still have like the old ones come in and out, but it's like you're riding
That's
a
what she
time
capsule.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Paris Hilton is just getting murdered on social media.
Why would happen?
So there was a ton of pictures of her and her husband and like their young son vacationing in Maui, like 30 minutes from where all the wildfires destroyed everything. And almost 100 people are dead. And they were seen like on a beach, like frolicking around and like having a good family fun time. And so it's not a good look. I guess somebody is trying to do damage control, because this is the sort of follow-up article from Fox. They said, after all the criticism that Paris faced while vacationing in Maui. Addressing the backlash, a source told Fox Digital that Paris was on the island to help her uncle, who lost his restaurant in the Maui fire, which burned nearly 30 miles away from where they were staying. They said it was initially planned as a family trip and that Paris has been traveling to Maui since she was born. She has many friends and family there, and it's a second home for her, the source said. Her uncle's restaurant burned down, so they decided to shorten their trip and go see their family and help where they could. When they arrived, they said that they gathered supplies donated to the local shelters and people in need and made significant contributions. However, Fox could not find the name of the restaurant, and when they reached out for a rep from Paris Hilton, nobody got back to them with any of those details. Ooh. So they say she was it was already planned. She has family there and everything else, and they decided to go and help, but man, the pictures, it's like she's walking around like a drinking towel around her neck.
Yeah, like a Hawaiian vacation.
Like, just like a Hawaiian vacation. Like, sure, somebody is serving her drinks on a beach chair whose like family has been ravaged on mm-hmm. the other side of the island, right?
Completely
so it's
unaware.
it's just not a good look, man. It's not a good look.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
There's something else I wanted to do here.
Oh, Tracy Morgan.
Oh, yeah, Tracy Morgan. Hey, Maury, have you found Ozempic yet?
No.
You still looking or no?
I mean, from time to time, I'll check, like, you know, Amazon and stuff.
Amazon?
What?
Why don't you go to the doctor?
Because I'm looking for, like, knockoff pills.
But why don't you go to the doctor?
Just get Berberine.
What's that?
Burberry? I have a shirt.
No, not Burberry. I would love a Burberry.
What is it, Maria?
So on TikTok, everyone keeps talking about Berberine. And it's like the nature's version of Ozempic, but it's for people who have like PCOS and endometriosis, but everyone's taking it now because it helps regulate your glucose levels.
Oh, I don't care about my glucose. I want to lose weight.
But it's like the same thing as Ozempic, just not the medical version.
I don't know. I've seen so many things of those TikTok videos where they're like, it's the off-market Ozempic. There is no such thing as the off-market Ozempic. It's just a completely different thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's called diet and exercise. That's the off-market.
Anyway,
hit the gym.
So here, I got to play this. It's Tracy Morgan talking to Hoda and Jenna about his weight loss journey.
By the way, you've been working on your body and on your health.
That's Ozempic. how this weight got lost.
You're not. Are you really on Ozempic?
Ozempic. Wayne got a prescription, and I got Ozempic.
No, you did.
Wait.
Are you really on Ozempic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I take Ozempic.
You look great.
Every Thursday.
Come on.
All right.
Plus my appetite in half.
Wow. Well, you look good, Tracy.
I only eat half a bag of Doritos.
Okay.
I don't know whether to believe him or not.
Me neither.
I kind of do, though.
Yeah, I do believe him. For sure.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Whew, we got to get into this blindside stuff, man. Oh. This story is crazy. So, Michael... Do you remember The Blind Side?
I remember it.
First of all, it's one of my favorite movies. I know. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people. It's one of the interesting things about Mocha is I've never met anyone whose like favorite movie is The Blind Side. Like I've never met anyone who loves The Blind Side as much as Mocha does.
It's one of my favorites too.
Is it?
Thank you, Maria. Maria, day two on the show. We've already connected.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I love it. I've watched it so many times.
Guys, like, listen, it's just Oscar like award winner. Sandra Bullock?
Yes.
Of course she's going to get the Oscar.
Big Mike. Hey, my name's Leanne Tui. My kids go to Wingate. You said you were going to the gym?
Mm-hmm.
School gym's closed.
Yeah, Big Mike.
Why were you going to the gym?
Why? Answer.
Big Mike, why were you going to the gym?
Because it's warm.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Oh, and he has nowhere to stay.
Okay.
So they put him in the car and it was raining.
Big Mike, Michael Oher. Is it Oher? Is that how you say it?
Oher. Yeah, Oher.
Michael Oher does not like that movie. Does not like how he was portrayed in that movie. He's never made that a secret. Doesn't like the fact that they played him out so he couldn't read and that when they brought him to the house, he was looking at a bed for the very first time in his life. None of that was true.
Oh,
over here you have a desk, chest of drawers. You have a nightstand, a light, an alarm.
Oh, and Sean says all the pro athletes use futons if they can't find a bed big enough, so I got you one of those. Of course, the frame was heinous. It's not about to let that in my house, but I got you something nicer.
It's mine.
Yes, sir. What?
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
Oh, my God, my heart.
Okay, so in a filing yesterday, Michael Orr claimed that the Tuohy family tricked him into making them his conservators when he was 18, allegedly telling him there was no consequential difference between being adopted and entering into a conservatorship. This is like what Britney's family did to her, because the whole movie is based around that he wanted to go to Ole Miss, mm-hmm. right? And you Ole had Miss. To be family because the dad was a booster and everything else, and so they adopted him. That's the whole premise of the movie. Mm-hmm. They say, quote, Michael trusted the Tuohys and signed where they told him to sign the legal filing claims. What he signed, however, and unknown to Michael until after February 2023 of this year.
Unknown to who?
Michael. Is that he was not, in fact, adopted or did not sign papers that were the equivalent of adoption papers. Instead, the filing claims that the Tuohys and Michael signed legal papers that made them his conservators. The 2004 conservatorship filing shows that Orr signed the papers despite being 18 years old at the time and having, quote, no known physical or psychological disabilities, which usually lead to conservatorships. That would be more often led to a legal sort of adult agreeing into themselves. So Leanne and Sean Tuohy, quote, have all the powers of attorney to act on Michael's behalf. They go on to say that Michael shall not be allowed to enter into any contracts or bind himself without the direct approval of the Tuohys.
Damn.
So Sean Tuohy is now responding.
He is. Okay. Tim McGraw played him, by the way.
Yes, he did.
2009 is when Blindside came out.
Wow. So he told the Daily Memphian, I guess that's the paper down in Memphis, mm-hmm. that he never tricked Michael into getting into a conservatorship, and he certainly didn't make millions off him either. Instead, he says that the whole ordeal went down because the NCAA, like we said earlier, told Michael that if he wanted to go to Ole Miss, he would have to be considered part of the Tuohy family. And he goes, quote, I sat Michael down and told him, if you're planning to go to Ole Miss or even considering Ole Miss, we think you have to be part of the family. This would do that legally. He continued, we contacted lawyers who had told us that we couldn't adopt Michael because he was over the age of 18. The only thing we could do legally was have a conservatorship. We were so concerned it was on the up and up that we made sure Michael's biological mother came to court. He goes on to say that, of course, he'd end the conservatorship if Michael wanted to. As for the allegations that they used the conservatorship to negotiate a big deal, he says they barely made anything off the money, only got a portion of what the writer, who actually was the one who sold the story to make the movie, was given. So that's his side of the
story. Are we not
supposed
to like the movie now? Like, I saw people on Twitter like blaming Sandra Bullock.
Like, oh, I know. Poor Sandra Bullock. Her husband passed away last week.
Yeah,
and she's getting dragged
week,
into this.
And people are like, yo, take away the Oscar.
Yes. But there's a lot of people who say that you shouldn't like the movie at all because it's like a whole white savior thing, right? That you shouldn't find the movie enjoyable. You should like a mocha. Everything is, I'm so sorry.
Guys, but one of my favorite scenes
yes.
when he's learning football.
Yeah.
And like Sandra Bullock walks out onto the field, pushes the coach aside,
yeah.
and grabs Michael and the rest of the team
yeah.
and says this.
You remember when we first met and we went to that horrible part of town to buy you those dreadful clothes? And I was a little bit scared and you told me not to worry about it because you had my back. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
And if anyone tried to get to me, you would have stopped them, right? And when you and SJ were in that car wreck, what did you do to the airbag?
Mm-hmm.
Stopped it.
You stopped it.
With that big hand.
You stopped it.
With that big arm.
This team is your family, Michael. You have to protect them from those guys. Okay? Listen, Tony here is your quarterback, all right? You protect his blind side. When you look at him, you think of me, how you have my back, how you have his, okay? Uncle Lumpy here is your tailback. When you look at him, you think of SJ and how you've never let anyone or anything hurt him. You understand me? Are you going to protect the family, Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Good boy. Now go have some fun.
Some powerful stuff. It's
like, I know.
It's Oscar award winning right there.
She's look at Maria. I know.
Day two crying. On the show, Maria already crying. It's
I
a beautiful movie.
I can't. I love her and the movie. I'm sorry. I just my
a
heart's
young,
broken.
A young Lily Collins is in that movie as well. She yeah. was the daughter.
Yeah.
Right, SJ, that punk. Yeah.
So I don't know how all this is going to end, but he only found out about this in February, that he wasn't actually legally adopted, according to him.
So are we allowed? So the only thing I want to know:
are
we
allowed still to like The Blind Side?
Yeah, or is that like offensive now?
I don't know. Shem, I don't know.
You don't ask me.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The trailer dropped for the Leonard Bernstein biopic Maestro, and Bradley Cooper's prosthetic nose, who plays Leonard Bernstein, has sparked criticism, with some calling him out for doing Jew face and for casting a non-Jewish actor to play the Jewish role. So people went off on the size of the prosthetic that Bradley Cooper wears, with some using photos to show that the actual Bernstein's nose was not even close to being that size.
Who is it? I don't know who this person is.
Leonard Bernstein, famous composer.
Let me look it up.
Yes. You a fan, Maury?
I mean, I've heard his stuff. I don't put it on him.
You're not a...
Leonard Bernstein. Okay. Yes. See his nose.
But if you look at the two photos, I mean...
And then, was it Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper, yeah. So it was pointed out
as soon as I type in Bradley Cooper, like the very first autofill, is Bradley Cooper, Leonard Bernstein.
Yes. Because the trailer just dropped, right? Carey Mulligan's in the movie, too. So Bradley, who is not Jewish, the other sort of part of this is casting a... It's not that people are saying that non-Jews shouldn't play Jews, but it's just when being Jewish is so much part of who the individual was. That's where the problem is, right?
Okay.
And they pointed out that Jake Gyllenhaal, who is Jewish, had a competing biopic and lost out on the rights to Bernstein's material. So he was bidding for this as well. Lost it out to Bradley Cooper and his production team. So they sort of went deep into the bidding war
So we'd all be okay if Bradley did it if he just didn't wear the prosthetic?
I think most people would be okay if he didn't wear the prosthetic. You could pull it apart and go back to, you know, the fact that he's not Jewish, but I think that it's the prosthetic put this over the top, right?
Because, like, if people watched this when it was done, they're not going to leave the theater going, it was amazing, but that nose just wasn't big enough. No one would care. I know.
And it's not like the nose was so part of his identity. Right? Like, it's not like he was known for having this giant nose where you just couldn't do the story without the nose.
I could have played the part.
Except for the whole musical genius stuff.
Right.
It's called acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nose. Let me see.
Yeah. Because some people were saying Bradley Cooper's nose in real life is bigger than Bernstein's nose was. Because Bradley Cooper don't got a small nose.
No, but it's not as big as Bernstein's nose in real life.
No. But it did. But did you need the prosthetic?
No,
I don't think so.
No. I think you could have done it without the prosthetic.
I think the prosthetic actually takes away, based on these photos I'm looking at.
But actors like to play dress up and stuff like that. Sure. But anyway, so that's the controversy with that. A lot of people initially saw the trailer for that movie. They were like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. Love this story. And then they were like, no.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Madonna, is it her birthday today?
Yay, 65.
65. And she announced the sort of rescheduled dates. So she had to go into the hospital and had to cancel all those dates for the tour. So the tour will now kick off in London on October 14th. The rescheduled dates for Toronto and Vancouver. Toronto at January 11th and 12th, and Vancouver on February 21st.
Of
the new year. And all tickets will be honored.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
After criminal charges against Alec Baldwin were dropped for the on-set shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, he may actually be called into court and recharged. So Alec Baldwin had denied that he pulled the trigger. However, a new forensics report concluded that the trigger of the prop Colt 45 revolver that turned out to contain a live round must have been pulled, quote, sufficiently enough to cause the incident. They say, although Alec Baldwin repeatedly denies pulling the trigger, given the test findings and observations reported here, the trigger had to be pulled or depressed sufficiently to release the fully cocked or retracted hammer of the evidence revolver. November. The charges were dismissed without prejudice back in April, but prosecutors said back in June in a court filing that Alec Baldwin could still face charges pending the ongoing investigation into the gun. And this is the results of that investigation, is that they say that he did in fact pull the trigger, so they may wind up bringing all those charges back.
Jeez.
So
never ending.
This is not over yet.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
After Mark Zuckerberg sort of moved on from his fight with Elon Musk, so Zucks went on social media to say that Elon's not serious and that he only wants to fight people who are serious, and that, you know, he said, hey, you know, why don't we call Dana White and make it official and all this stuff. And then he says that Elon said, well, why don't we just do it in your backyard? And Zuck was like, yo, that's not a real fight. Like, yeah, when you're ready, I'm here.
Come at me, bro.
Because Elon had come out to say that he had the Roman Colosseum all lined up for this fight. So yesterday, Elon goes on Twitter and says, Zuck thread coming soon, about how he would, of course, love to fight any time, but blah, 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 UFC something, something. And then, so this is
amazing.
This is what he wrote. Fight recap. I joked on X about fighting Zuck, then said, send me location. Italy graciously offered a Colosseum. Zuck denied. I suggested his home as a safe space. Tragically, he was traveling. Is there anywhere he will fight? So Elon seems like he's back into this.
However, on site.
By the way, the Italian government fully denies having offered Elon Musk the Colosseum.
Oh,
by the way. So I don't know. I think that this is just junk. But I think that Zuck really wants to have a fight, and I think Elon might want something different.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know sort of where the middle ground is.
Come on,
is.
Jake Paul, what are you doing, bro?
Right.
And Jake Paul is now training MMA because he wants an MMA fight to happen soon.
One of the Diaz brothers, I guess, or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
maybe Nick Diaz next?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Hey, can you explain what went on with this Usher stuff while we were on vacation?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So this happened like last month. Keke Palmer was at an Usher concert.
Okay.
You know, Usher has his residency in Vegas, right?
Yes.
All the celebs are going there to see Usher.
Yes, yes.
So she shows up to the show and then she gets on stage. Usher invites her onto the stage. Anytime he sees like his celebrity friends, right? He invites them up on stage and starts singing. Anyway, this outfit that she was wearing, it was like this sheer kind of see-through, right?
Yeah.
And her butt cheeks are showing.
Oh, excuse me.
So her then boyfriend, because they broke up, went online and was like, how you out here looking like this when you're a mom?
Oh, damn.
And they have a kid together, right? So then everyone went in on the boyfriend to be like, why are you mom shaming her?
Yeah, yeah.
So then they broke up. So then on Twitter, yesterday.
So they broke up because he said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, and like, it was just like, he was just getting killed. Destroyed.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
And her only recourse at that point is to defend him or end the relationship.
Yeah.
Though she had two choices.
So Usher and Keke Palmer have a song coming out tonight.
Oh,
and they
damn.
Both released a teaser for it today. And Usher's caption for the song.
Yeah.
The song is called Boyfriend, by the way.
Right.
Usher's so petty. What he wrote on Twitter was, when fantasies become reality.
I applaud that petty, man.
Right?
Yep.
So listen. So in the teaser that you see, it's like a flash. You see like Usher. It looks like he's walking down the hallway, looking like shirt open, gold chains, looking like he's coming for your girl.
Okay.
Like, look out.
Yeah.
And then Keke Palmer standing there like,
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And then you hear these lines. There's one line from the song that's so petty. Listen. Okay, you see Usher?
Yeah.
You see Keke Palmer?
Okay.
The seductive look?
Yeah.
And then you hear this.
Somebody say that your boyfriend's looking for me.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Nice. Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, wow. Wow. Damn. Damn. Damn.
Somebody say that your boyfriend's looking for me.
Oh, God. If you're wondering who is having the worst day in the world today,
yeah,
it's Keke Palmer's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah,
he's having the worst day.
Especially when the streaming numbers for this go up,
yeah,
and this song is everywhere. He should just shut his phone off because, and like deactivate Instagram.
Yes,
because he's just going to get destroyed overnight. God. Like, there's no
point.
Was
this guy famous or was he a civilian?
Civilian, total civilian.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing?
As a civilian, you can't go up against Usher.
Somebody say that your boyfriend's looking for me.
No.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Man, so much blindside drama. It continues.
You want to stay here, Michael?
I don't want to go anyplace else.
Well, all right then.
So Michael Orr, who was the subject of the movie The Blind Side, which won Sandra Bullock an Academy Award, came out saying that in February he learned that he was not actually adopted by the Tui family, and that they tricked him into going into a conservatorship, much like what Britney was under, and that they've been profiting off his name and story. And he has seen nothing. And then Sandra Bullock got dragged into this with a lot of idiots saying that she should relinquish her Academy Award and like all sorts of nonsense.
So mad yesterday, everyone going in on Sandra Bullock.
So here is Quentin Aaron, and he's the guy in The Blind Side who played Michael Orr.
This movie inspired so many people, changed people's lives, mine included. I feel for everyone involved. You know what I mean? I'm not taking sides. You know, I love Michael. I love the Tui family. I don't know, you know, in the end, I haven't been in communication with them, you know, since the movie, honestly. So I'm not sure what to make of what's going on. As far as getting to know the family, I did speak to some of them back around that time frame. You know, I didn't meet Michael until a few years later. It was we were doing an autograph signing event up in Chicago back in 2013, I think. You know, we live in a society today where people are so hell-bent on pointing blame on people. Sandra Bullock didn't have anything to do with the real story that we're reading, you know, as of right now, how, you know, that's like if to say that she slapped Leanne, so she should give her Oscar back, you know, no pun intended to the Oscar thing that happened. I'm just using that as a pun, but like, I think people just need to chill out, relax, and let the families involved handle whatever's going on, and just, I guess, enjoy the show because it's out there for everyone to see. But saying stuff like she need to relinquish her title doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So here is the show. Here is what's going on. So the attorney for the Tui family claims that Michael Orr attempted to shake them down for $15 million before he filed the petition on Monday. So their attorney said that the family opened their home to Mr. Orr, offered him structure, support, and most of all, unconditional love. He goes on to say, Orr's response was to threaten them, including saying that he would plant a negative story about them in the press unless they paid him $15 million. The statement also alleges that Michael has actually attempted to run this place several times before, but was stopped after the lawyers representing him, quote, saw the evidence and learned the truth. The attorney's statement goes on to say, sadly, Mr. Orr has finally found a willing enabler. This ludicrous lawsuit as a cynical attempt to drum up attention in the middle of his latest book tour. Anyone with a modicum of common sense can see that the outlandish claims made by Michael about the Tui family are hurtful and absurd. The idea that the Tuis have ever sought to profit off Mr. Orr is not only offensive, it is transparently ridiculous. They go on to say that The attorney claimed that evidence is clear and it shows that the Tuohys have given Michael Orr an equal cut of every penny received from the film, all of which has apparently been documented in profit participation checks and studio accounting statements. So they say they have receipts. Moreover, the attorneys for Sean say that they will never oppose the termination of the conservatorship either now or at any time in the future. So they say this is a shakedown and that he came to them multiple times before to say, hey, pay me or I'm going to drown you.
We're going to keep following the story.
Damn.
But in the meantime, leave Sandra Bullock alone.
Damn. Yeah, leave Sandra Bullock alone.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Have you seen the clip of The Golden Bachelor?
Mm-mm.
No. So here, there's two clips there. He sort of sounds, before he starts crying, because I don't want to goof on the guy, because he starts talking about like his late wife, I guess, and all this stuff. But he sort of sounds like in clip number one, he sort of sounds a little bit like Mr. Garrison from South Park.
I'm Gary. I'm 71 years young. I'm from Indiana, and I am going to be the first Golden Bachelor because it's never too late to fall in love again.
Okay.
Yeah, he really sounds like okay.
I married my high school sweetheart, Tony, in 1972. We had 43 wonderful years together.
Aw.
We had two daughters, and I now have two wonderful granddaughters. We had a real typical but beautiful life. You know, she became ill, and her situation got worse over a couple of weeks.
Oh, come on, guys.
And so we went to the emergency room, and she had a bacterial infection that infected her kidneys and infected her liver. And so I took my wife to the emergency room on July 7th.
Come on, guys.
She passed away on July 15th. It will be 6 years since she passed away. No one's ever going to replace Tony.
Love you, Dad. Love you.
No. Thanks, guys.
I'm totally watching this.
I'm not ready for this.
No? Anybody going to watch this?
I'm going to cry the whole time.
You're going to watch this, Maria?
Yeah.
Shem? Maury?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm not watching.
You're not watching?
No.
No, you don't want to see him fall in love again? And like
that's
all that
fine.
Stuff and...
I'll watch the highlights on Twitter, but I'm not watching stuff with him crying about his wife of 43 years
passing away. That's kind of beautiful.
What about the fantasy suites and all that?
Yeah.
And the competitions.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
They got the bar on the side of the bed to help you get up, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Think it's all geared out, right?
Y'all are wrong.
You should play clip two then.
Like, what's clip two?
Play clip two.
Okay, play clip two. Play clip two.
Is this one emotional as well?
No.
Okay.
My dad is just such a fun guy. He's so personable and lovable.
Way to go, Dad!
He's so kind and he has so much to give. He just deserves to find that in somebody else.
Best case scenario is I find out that Helen Mirren's on the market and she's really happy to be on The Golden Bachelor.
You can't be laughing. You gotta have a straight face. Well, don't make it look like you're gonna cry.
I guess the first thing I'm worried about is remembering 25 names. Eunice, will you accept this rose? Gertrude? I'm sorry, this isn't going to work. I hope at the end of it, I find a person that I'll spend the rest of my life with that will complete our family.
Cheers.
Wow. I'm so into this.
Eunice?
Eunice and Gertrude?
Fire.
When does the show start? Is it already on?
When does it come out? Is it on yet?
No, very soon. Very soon.
Yeah. When, though? Find out when. Give me when.
It'll be on City.
I know. I didn't say where. I said when. When does it come out? It
must be soon.
Do a little rock.
How hard is this, guys?
I can't find
That's
it.
That's what
man.
She said.
Well, maybe, okay. Maybe not the Golden Bachelor, but.
Okay. Okay.
WTF, do we have an answer?
Like, no, I still can't find it.
September 23rd.
There we go.
Okay.
There we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So, Britney Spears and Sam Asghari, no more. And a lot of people in Britney's world are apparently worried now because he was basically her only steady support system. So after the news broke that he had filed for divorce, Britney posted on Instagram she was sitting on a horse.
Okay.
And her response was, buying a horse soon. So many options. It's kind of hard. A horse called Sophie or another called Roar. I can't make up my mind. And then she goes on to say, should I join the camaraderie and put a pink cowboy hat on? Either way, I think I found my sweet spot with Roar. So that was her response to the divorce filing.
Why did any news
so he cited irreconcilable differences. She's got a high-powered lawyer, Laura Wasser, who does everybody's divorce, Kim Kardashian and everything else. Yeah. So he is now asking for upped spousal support and attorney fees, which goes outside of their agreed-upon prenuptial agreement. And a source inside said that he was attempting to negotiate concessions beyond his prenup and threatened to go public with extraordinarily embarrassing information about Britney unless he gets paid.
Wow.
A source told TMZ yesterday that Sam has already moved out after a nuclear fight that the two had over infidelity allegations on Britney's side.
What?
So apparently,
I don't believe that.
The fight was because Britney had stepped outside their marriage.
I don't believe that, Sam.
According to that. So, nah. So yeah, so there you go. Not good.
She doesn't go anywhere.
I don't know. It's not good.
And just before the book comes out.
Right. And none of this is in the book. And there's probably a lot of like glowing stuff
Do you think
about
he timed
how
it so it's like, I can't make it in the book.
I don't know. Do you think Britney's actually read the book?
She don't know.
Britney has no idea what's in that book.
When she does the audio version, it's going to be the first time she's read the book.
Yeah. Well, if she does the audio version. If she does the audio version. That's a lot.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Ed Sheeran in the Super Bowl, this sort of comes up every year when you start talking about giant stars that are available to do the Super Bowl. But anybody who's ever seen Ed Sheeran's show is like, he doesn't have a band. He doesn't fly around on stuff. It's just Ed Sheeran on stage. Mm-hmm. And so he was talking to Andy Cohen about whether or not Ed would, in fact, ever do the Super Bowl. And this is Ed's response.
There was a conversation a while ago, I think it was when Coldplay did it, where of me going on to play Thinking Out Loud. And I think that would be the only way that I would do it is if I was joining someone else. I think it's an American thing. I don't have pizzazz. Prince, you watch Michael Jackson, you watch Katy Perry, you watch Lady Gaga, you watch Rihanna, you watch Beyonce, right. Like all of these amazing performers. I'm just not that. That's not me. I would do it as a guest. And then I could say I did the Super Bowl with.
Not at least he's being honest.
Not a lot of people use pizzazz.
It seems like a word you'd use.
Thank you, Maury. I like
the
word.
Do you have pizzazz?
I think I have pizzazz.
I think you sometimes have a little bit of pizzazz.
Who just sucked the air out of the room? Who was that?
Sham.
I don't know that you. I don't.
Say it.
Let's go ahead and continue the news.
Say it, Sham.
I don't want to get any support. Thank you, nah. Maury. Thank you, Maury, by the way. Thank you.
You've got other things. Just maybe not pizzazz. You got swag.
What's that? What's the difference between swag and pizzazz?
Oh, you got like, it's a vibe. It's a vibe.
Swag?
Yeah, it's a vibe ting.
Swag over pizzazz?
Roz has swag over pizzazz for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he doesn't have pizzazz, he definitely doesn't have swag.
Oh, I was trying to shoot you some
bail,
bro.
He has chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
You know what? You do.
Chutzpah.
Yes. Thank you, damn it, Maury. You All have right. chutzpah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
So the controversy with Bradley Cooper doing Jew face is now being defended. So they released the trailer for Maestro, which is the biographical romance between Leonard Bernstein and his one true love. And in the trailer, Bradley Cooper has a prosthetic nose on, and a lot of people were labeling this as Hollywood's stereotypical and inauthentic portrayal of Jewish people, and they call that Jew face. However, Bernstein's kids are now defending Bradley Cooper. So they came to his defense saying, Bradley Cooper included the three of us along every step of his amazing journey as he made his film about our father. It breaks our hearts to see any misrepresentations or misunderstandings of his efforts. It happens to be true that Leonard Bernstein had a nice big nose. Bradley chose to use makeup to amplify his resemblance, and we're perfectly fine with this. Huh. We're also certain that our dad would have been fine with this as well. Any strident complaints around this issue strike us above all disingenuous attempts to bring a successful person down a notch, a practice we observed all too often perpetrated on our own fathers. So the kids are now coming out to defend this.
So
he had swag, right? Bernstein?
No, he had chutzpah.
He had chutzpah. Yeah. Bradley Cooper, swag? Pizzazz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dripping swag. Enough swag.
You think so?
Dripping so much swag.
Yeah. You think Bradley Cooper's dripping in swag?
Dripping.
Yes.
Dripping from the nose?
Wow. 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 Wow.
Only more can say that.
Only more. There's one person on the show that could have said that. There was one line to be said, and it came from the right person.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Barbie is now Warner Brothers' highest grossing domestic film of all time.
Hey! Beating
The Dark Knight, which was when it came out, $536 million domestically. Barbie is now, because of Tuesday's box office numbers, $537.4 million domestically.
I still gotta see that movie.
Incredible amount of money. Jeez. So the Michael Orr story with the Tuies from The Blind Side, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
There's more stuff not looking good for Michael now.
No.
So
has anyone looked? Sorry to interrupt, but yeah. I wonder if anyone's looked into streaming, like if people have been watching The Blind Side more.
Well, who streams it? Where can you watch The Blind Side?
I think it's on Netflix.
Is
right
it
now.
On Netflix?
Oh, I guess and Netflix doesn't give streaming numbers.
And Rogers
I
on
think.
Demand too. I'm sure.
Is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Okay, so we found out that Michael Orr had said that he only found out in February of this year that he wasn't actually adopted by the Tui family, and that he says that they tricked him, conned him into signing legal papers for a conservatorship that gave them complete control. They came out to say, well, we never hid the fact because he was 18 and we couldn't legally adopt him. This was the only way to make him a legal part of the family, to get him into the school, so on and so forth. But Michael says that he found out in February of this year. However, in 2011, Michael Orr wrote a book called I Beat the Odds, From Homelessness to the Blind Side and Beyond. It was his memoir. Remember we were talking earlier, I said Britney Spears, and she probably never read her memoir, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people have not read their memoirs, right? Sure. Who write them. They just haven't. Mm-hmm. That's just fact, okay? And they go and they do these big, giant press tours, and they're sometimes surprised at the questions people ask.
Sure.
Because they haven't read their own books. Mm-hmm. So this is from Michael Orr's memoir that came out in 2011.
Okay.
2011.
2 years after the movie came out, by the way.
Quote, it kind of felt like a formality, as I'd been part of the family for more than a year at that point. Since I was already over the age of 18 and considered an adult by the state of Tennessee, Sean and Leanne would be named as my, quote, legal conservators.
Oh my God, it's right there in the book.
He goes on to say, they explained to me that it means pretty much the exact same thing as adoptive parents, but that the laws are just written in a way that took my age into account. Honestly, I don't care what it's called. I was just happy that no one could argue that we weren't legally what we already knew we were, a family.
Oh, Michael. It's right there, sir. The receipts are in your book.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael.
So it's not looking good.
So if it goes to court, would they, like the other lawyer, would hand him this at the stand going, please read the highlighted part?
Yeah. I mean, well, obvious. And also the Tuies just said, hey, listen, if you want to ditch the conservatorship, we'll ditch the conservatorship. Yeah, no problem. Cool. No, right. Cool. We'll no problem. It. So I think it's just a matter of, I think it's a
he
matter
just wants
of
money.
That. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it really seems like he's trying to shake them down at this point.
Hey, has Tim McGraw come out to say anything? Because he played the dad.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Yeah,
like did he come out to say anything?
I don't think he has. I don't think he or Sandra Bullock.
No one, came out to defend Sandra Bullock other than the guy that played Michael for the movie.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Even what's her name? Emily Appari. Lily Collins. Because she was the daughter in that movie.
Was she?
She was, yes.
I had no idea about that. You know everything about The Blind Side. We got to do like a Blind Side trivia day or something like that. We really do.
But they would just be don't you ask asking me. Questions to Mocha and you'd get them all right.
True, that's right.
Don't,
you're right.
You got don't ask to play me anything about SJ, though. No? That guy looks like a punk.
Okay. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Red, White, and Royal Blue. This is the movie you watch, right, Maureen?
Yes, it's good. It's Hot
the,
guys.
What is it's it? The number one worldwide movie on Prime Video, apparently. Already top three rom-com on streaming platforms.
What's it about?
What's it about, Maureen?
So Uma Thurman is the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Her son, falls in love with the Prince of England. Like, mm-hmm. Kind of like the Prince Harry kind of character. Mm-hmm. But they, they don't know each other or like gay and they have to hide it. And, they have secret meetups in hotels, where they're shirtless and doing things and et cetera, et cetera.
We understand what happens.
Yeah, I understand.
And then the prince comes and then it's found out because all of his text messages and emails are leaked. So he has to come out and publicly address this and then they fall in love. Okay. Oh, spoiler alert.
Wow.
All right. Now I don't got to watch it.
Now
cool.
It's already Prime Video's number one rom-com, most watched rom-com of all time.
It's good. It's cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Uma Thurman.
Yeah. You tell a hell of a story, Maury. Yeah.
I know. Thank you.
Maury, you get so flustered when talking about sex. You even get flustered when talking about fictional people having sex.
What's it called? Red?
Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Red, White, and Royal Blue. Yeah.
It's good. It's cute. Uma Thurman.
Yeah. Who are the guys, though? Isn't it the story about the guys or is it the story about Uma Thurman? Why are you focusing so much on Uma Thurman?
Because people know who Uma Thurman is.
Right. But it's not about her. It's about the guys, though.
No,
right?
No. But I'm like, if you're going to sell it, sell, say a name people know.
So the official kind of synopsis.
Thank you.
When the feud between the son of the American president and Britain's prince threatens to drive a wedge in the U.S.-British relations, the two are forced into a staged truce that sparks something deeper.
Oh. So that's like exactly what I said.
It's completely opposite of what you said.
It sounded like that.
You gave a big spoiler alert.
It sounded like Uma Thurman's son went on vacation, met a prince, and
yes!
then they made love.
Oh, like they did go on vacation and make love.
Spoiler alert!
I don't think anyone needs to know that. The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast. Jamie Foxx back on social media. He was on Instagram and threw a couple of pictures of himself up there looking good. And what he wrote was, "You're looking at a man who is thankful, finally starting to feel like myself. It's been an unexpected dark journey, but I can see the light." He goes on to say, "You just don't know how much it meant. I will be thanking all of you personally. And if you didn't know, God is good all day, every day. Hashtag swipe left. Hashtag I'm back. And I'm better, hashtag no bad days." And then underneath that, Jeremy Renner actually replied.
Oh.
And Jeremy Renner wrote, "Brother, I know that feeling. It only gets better from here." Because Jeremy Renner got run over by that giant snowplow.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the two of them together, that was real great to see. Britney Spears going getting a divorce. Her husband of 14 months.
I still don't know why.
They got
right?
in a giant fight, and he accused her of cheating. And then he left, and now he was wanting more money than the prenup was going to provide him. And the story goes that he was said that he's going to go public with quote extraordinarily embarrassing information about Britney unless he gets paid. And then she hired like the divorce lawyer to the stars, and it's getting ugly.
Damn.
Ugly. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Would you use an AI life coach?
Yes, I have.
You have?
What?
ChatGPT.
No, but so Google is now developing like an AI actual life coach that works. So they taught it 21 different tasks to help people improve their lives. So right now, still very early on, things like creating problem solving, helping you plan your day better, creating budgets and meal plans, and just general life advice. So one of the people who were working on it told the New York Times that Google wants to make it smart enough to give answers to complicated questions, intimate questions about people's lives. And the example that they gave was a friend was at my wedding and they invited me to their wedding, but theirs is a destination wedding and I can't afford it. How do I tell them I can't go? So they're developing Google AI to give you the perfect answer to tell somebody why you can't.
ChatGPT does this right now.
Do wow. they?
You can ask yeah. literally the exact same stuff.
And do you get decent answers?
Amazing answers.
Really? That's yeah. crazy.
No, this is just
like
way.
No offense. ChatGPT is almost sometimes better to talk to than your own partner. Wow.
Do you ever have you ever had a problem with Matthew and then you got on ChatGPT to figure out how to solve that problem?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No, no.
How far away do you think you are from that?
Just a few days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Days. Yeah.
For real. Oh, wow. For real though. For real. Like it's crazy.
I don't know.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I was going through this article on signs you're in your 40s. I won't get to a lot of them because they're just stupid. But the one that that really made me take notice was you're making noise when you stand up.
Oh my God, that's you, bro.
Let's go for more.
I'll tell you another sign. I'll tell you another sign is that I judge, like when I go on vacation, I judge the place whether I like the accommodations based on the toilet.
What?
Yeah, because I had a lot of, first of all, Europe. Don't even get me started. I love Europe. I love the culture. I love the life. I love the, everything about it.
But
I can't stand their toilets. Why? Asses are round. Toilet seats shouldn't be square. Okay?
Square?
I sat on more squared off toilet seats than I had. I sat on, we stayed in one place where the toilet, okay? The toilet came off, like it was on an angle pitched forward. So you couldn't relax. You always felt like you were sliding off.
Yeah, because you're supposed to do your business and then get up and get going with your day.
No, everything else about the room, great. I would give it a 2-star review because of the toilet. You sit forward. Do you understand what that's like when you sit on a toilet and you slowly feel like you're sliding forward? Slowly feel like you're sliding forward.
Why is your ass so slippery?
It's not. It's the toilet was pitched forward and I'm sliding forward.
But did you still sit on that slanted toilet for like 30 minutes?
I tried and then I got nervous. I was going to guillotine something if I slid too far.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. Oh my thank God. You. Right? Right, pain. Shem? Thank,
guillotine.
Thank you.
You're
right?
Giving yourself a little too much credit there, buddy.
Oh, I need spacers on the seat, Shem. Okay? You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. But I did. And also the square toilet seats, I can't do. I can't do. It's too uncomfortable. It's your ass is round. Your ass needs to go. Your round ass needs to go in a round hole. Okay. You don't put a round ass. What are you laughing at, Maria?
I'm sorry.
Does your Greek family have square toilet seats?
You know, another thing about it, where they live in Greece, yes, they are
they
round.
Do.
They like they square at the front and
yes.
then they yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable.
No.
No.
But I don't sit on the toilet for a half hour.
Okay,
I don't think anyone
ask.
Should.
I didn't ask.
That's a whole other conversation.
Right?
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.